Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team, assist!
Well, maybe this is that reason for optimism, building your confidence as a Broncos fan for Sunday. Andrew Mason reminds all of us that Russell Wilson has owned the San Francisco 49ers,
yeah,
at least as a Seattle Seahawk. He is 17-4 all time against San Francisco. The average Russell Wilson game since Kyle Shanahan took over is 27 points. Russell Wilson is, the average game is 22 for 33, over two touchdowns, less than one interception. Completion percentage of almost 70%. The average Russell Wilson game against San Francisco. So what is it? Is this a Russell Wilson versus the defense thing that we can really hook onto? Or is it, hey, that was Seattle. It's completely different here.
No. I think it's a defense thing. I mean, one thing about the Niners, and they'll tell you, DeMeco Ryans took over as the defense coordinator when Robert Saleh got hired as the head coach of the Jets. And they play essentially one defense. I bet you they played 80% of the time, Mike. You know, I mean, they'll change a little bit down in the red zone like everybody plays, quarters down in the red. When they get packed in there, everybody pretty much plays quarters because you're 8 yards from the line of scrimmage, so you don't have to have an extra defender in the box, right? So you get a lot of that, and when you get the 3-by-1s down there and everything else, it that's what they play. Let me just make it simple. That's what they play. So in the field, you're going to get one defense, and they're going to play it exceptionally well, but you kind of know what you're getting. And that's, I think, Russell's been able to take advantage of that over the years.
So, there's going to be something Russ does, because if this defense is so simple, then it'd be a defense that San Francisco would have to get out of because everybody's lighting him up. So there's got to be something about that they do that favors Russ.
They're so good. Well, they're so good, Mike. They're playing one defense. Normally, you can't block them long enough. You can't do that. Well, Russ extends plays, scrambles around, and, you know, you... In those situations, you know what you're getting, so your read is true. You scramble around and extend plays, and all of a sudden you're in a cover three match. Your guy's running down the sideline open. Like those are the things that happen to you, I think. But they are so good at putting pressure on the quarterback, and they're so disciplined in what they're supposed to be doing. That's the strength of them. The whole strength of them, Mike, is we're going to make you complete eight passes in a row and have a couple of runs. You're going to have to put a 12 play drive together to score against us. And
Russ has been able to do that.
Frankly, that's a really hard thing to do in the NFL. So that's the philosophy of it, and they do a great job.
Jake Shapiro at DenverFan.com writing about how Russell Wilson's rushing numbers through the first couple of weeks have been down. Only a few carries for only a handful of yards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're talking about a guy who routinely, I mean, you can go back to 2020, just a couple of years ago, he ran for over 500 yards. He's off to a slow start. He talked about it that we're getting the ball out really quick in the first game. In the second game, we're trying to make contested plays. Then we got it going with Javonte and Melvin. He says, I'm always ready to take off if I need to in certain situations, but it's really the guys have been doing a great job of just getting open and trying to work and make plays.
And then he named them all by name.
Then he named them all.
The entire offense. Every one of them, and had a little blurb, paragraph on each guy.
Had he, we allowed him to keep going, I'm sure he would have eventually got to the, you know.
He'd still be talking right
now. The 98 Broncos.
Right. He'd still be talking right
now. He'd still be talking about great Bronco players.
Yeah.
Past and present. How awesome they are. But is this by design? Is it a case of, hey, he could do more, and don't worry, he will do more with his legs.
Sure.
But right now, he's just trying to get everybody going on offense. This is a purposeful thing he's doing.
Yeah, I think you have to understand, too, in Seattle, that's a unique situation, right? You're designing. It's like when we used to go to Kansas City, Mike, every seven-step drop in our offense, we threw out of our offense. So right now, from a passing game standpoint, if you're talking about you've got 100% of your plays, right, your package plays, say, okay, let's say 30% of the 100% is seven-step drops. All of them are gone. So now we've eliminated, right? Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
Careful. We've eliminated 30% of our offensive passing plays. So you've already minimized that. You go to Seattle and that crowd noise, you know, man, we're going to get the quick passing game going. We're going to get three-step drops, the five-step drops without a hitch. We're going to get them out of our hand. We're going to move. Like, you're trying to get the ball out right now. So there's not going to be as many, you're not going to be afforded as many opportunities to drop back, sit down, and then take off. It just doesn't work that way. I promise you, it will balance out, but you don't want him running the ball. Like, you want him to orchestrate and operate from the pocket and be better at that.
There are a couple more DenverFan.com stories I want to get to on the front page, but we'll revisit that in a moment.
Did your story ever get up?
It got up, but not in the high profile area that it belongs for Magic Mike. So I talked to James Merrillat about that, and he apologized profusely and said it'll never happen again.
I think James is sabotaging you on purpose.
Really? He's a saboteur?
Yeah, he doesn't like the Chicken Little name that you've given him, and it's kind of caught on.
Now he's,
I think Denver, just people in Denver generally just call him.
He's sabotaging me. Like Herm Edwards was apparently sabotaged at Arizona State.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get that back to, because actually James Merrillat had something he wrote that I want to talk about. But first,
I have Adam Schefter from ESPN on the line. He heard a rumor.
Oh, great. Tell Schefter to stick his rumor up.
Sunny. Adam Schefter joins us now for his weekly visit. Hello, Adam.
Mike, what stories did you want to get to on the Denver Fan Page hotline that you haven't discussed? Let's hear it.
Well, you know what? Let's talk, because you know what? You would actually be well-versed in talking about this. Our man, Mark Schlereth, made the initial cut of some 120 finalists, modern era finalists for the 2023 Pro Football Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Mark. There were 10 other Broncos or players with Bronco connections that were on the list. Well, Al Wilson's one of the people that were on that list as well. And James Merrillat wrote an article that people can read at DenverFan.com saying that Mark and Al Wilson both deserve to be in the Ring of Fame. Maybe they won't make it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but they definitely deserve to be in the Ring of Fame. As somebody who covered the Broncos during their glory days, do you agree with that?
You know what I would say to that? First of all, yes. Yes. And Stink won't say this, but he was, to me, he was the leader of that offensive line. He was the guy that they brought in that kind of rallied that whole unit together. Like Zim is a character, but he's quiet. He's not a leading type. Brian Habib wasn't good enough to be the leader type. Tom Nealon was too introverted. The late, great Broderick Thomas, I love that guy, but that's not him. So Stink was kind of a leader of the, what I would say, maybe the best offensive line that the Denver Broncos ever had. Am I wrong, Stink? You're not going to say that.
Adam, you're putting Mark in such an uncomfortable position, saying nice things and making Mark talk about himself.
Well,
very uncomfortable.
If you guys, here's all you need to know, Adam. I was the guy in charge of one grease board, and I had to draw a weekly picture of something that went on during the week, and usually an inappropriate picture of something that was drawn up there. So, yeah, I was the official grease board leader, which de facto heretofore makes me the leader of the group. So I agree with you.
And therefore, as the visual grease board leader of the group and the undisputed leader of the group, I mean, that to me qualifies you for the Ring of Fame. Zim is in the Ring of Fame, right?
Yes, he is. And Tommy is too.
And I mean, come on. Honestly.
Let's go.
That's an oversight. Al Wilson 100% belongs in the Ring of Fame, and Mark belongs in the Ring of Fame. And it's an oversight that it hasn't happened till now. Ed McCaffrey's in the Ring of Fame, right?
No, Eddie's not in.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my reaction, too.
He belongs in there, too.
Yeah.
He belongs in there, too. So do you. And I'm sure there are others. I don't mean to exclude anybody, but Mike asked me about you and Al. Right. Mm. So that's pretty easy.
You were here when they drafted Al like 16th overall, yep. Right? Like he was shocking to me. What made him, because he was so good and he was so in charge for you. What made, as you were covering the team, what made him instantly like, oh, gosh, that guy's got it. What was it that set him apart for you as a guy who covered the team on a daily basis?
Well, first of all, correct if I'm wrong here, I'd have to sit down and look it out, but I think they drafted him in 99 after their second consecutive Super Bowl win. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Right. So he always played. He never played on the best teams, but he was really quick. He was like a linebacker ahead of the time. The game almost is transitioned to those kinds of linebackers. Like, not that he was small, because he wasn't small, but I mean fast and quick linebackers. And he was intense and violent. He was a great player, but did he ever win a Super? Was he there?
No, he
came in on the back end, and then he's gone before they won with Peyton. It's terrible, right? Bad timing for him.
Yeah, no question about it. But he was great. And the thing that resonated with me, Adam, is he came in instantly. I think they were trying to give the play calling duties of the defense, you know, to a safety at the time because he's a rookie, and he was like, no. I'm the middle linebacker. I call the plays on this defense. Like, he would like completely took charge as a rookie.
He was another guy that was a leader. And again, I feel bad. Like that's what I think when you say Al Wilson. I think a guy that kind of missed out on all the greatness that the Broncos have had at various points, but was a great player in his own right.
Adam, as we get set for 49ers coming in on Sunday, the conversation surrounding Nathaniel Hackett, you've covered this game, this league, a long, long time. You've covered and watched first-time coaches. When you look at the scrutiny that Nathaniel Hackett is receiving, it's above average, for sure, but are you confident, or where would your confidence level be that this thing will be fixed and will be smoothed out sooner rather than later?
Well, let me say this, that we live in a day and age where everything is scrutinized more than it's ever been. And it gets that way all the time. I've never seen a honeymoon for a new coach end quicker than I have for him in Denver this year. I mean, usually a new coach comes in and he's given some time to figure things out, implement a system, work with the guys, the whole thing. It almost feels as if the entire city wanted him gone one game into his tenure as the Broncos head coach. One game. It lasted one game, the honeymoon. Let me say this. The honeymoon lasted about three quarters. And honestly, the only thing that can and would turn it around would just be winning. They win, and people will be focusing on that, and inevitably, that will turn into, look at the good job that Nathaniel Hackett's doing. If they don't win, it's not going to stop. The scrutiny is going to continue. The criticism will be right there. So it's all about winning and having the kind of season that so many people expected the Broncos to have when they traded for Russell Wilson and hired Nathaniel Hackett. So if they play well and win, all good. It'll slowly dissipate. If they play the way they did in the first two games, it's not going to let up, and it's going to increase. Because it's almost like the expression, you know, first impressions are the most important impressions, and he's made his first impression on everybody. His first impression has been made on everybody in Denver. The only way to change that is to win consistently over time. And if he's a good enough coach, he'll do that. And if he's not going to win over the fans.
Yeah, that's for sure, especially with a franchise quarterback. And speaking of franchise quarterback, former Seattle Seahawks continue to take pot shots. You know, you look at Richard Sherman's podcast, K.J. Wright was on there. And, you know, K.J. Wright complained of the fact that Russell Wilson got preferential treatment. And it seems to be a real thorn in the side of Seattle Seahawks. You know, we go in here in Denver with eyes wide open. He comes with, you know, his own masseuse and his own chiropractor and his own, you know, physiology, whatever. Yeah, all this, that, and the other. But are you surprised that it's still there's that much vitriol or that much just bad will towards Russell Wilson in Seattle?
It's a little surprising considering that he's the greatest quarterback in franchise history and he led them to all the success they had. But clearly, doesn't seem to be the most popular guy in the locker room. Obviously had his supporters, but obviously had his detractors too. And so, you know what it reminds me of a little? When you're talking about all that, I think of Bill Romanowski, that's what it sounds like. Comes with his own masseuses and chiropractors and like, that's what it sounds like to me a little bit.
Right.
And Romo was a polarizing guy in Denver. Some people really liked him. Some people really didn't like him. And so it almost seems like that's the 2022 quarterback version of this. Comes with his own staff. Some people really like him. Some people don't. And again, it comes back to the old winning scenario where if you win, more people will like him than not. I can guarantee you that. If he doesn't, then the questions will keep coming. And, you know, when Denver was winning, it was okay for Romo to play and act the way he did. When they weren't winning, it was time to move on from him.
Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, joining us courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Adam, how close did the 49ers come to out-and-out releasing or trading Jimmy Garoppolo during the offseason? Because they certainly acted like a team that didn't want him there.
Never came close to releasing him. Never. Because he was always a quarterback asset. And you don't just move on from assets. I don't believe it was ever getting to the point where they were going to release him. And so trading him, yes, in March, that would have happened. But he had the shoulder surgery. And if he hadn't had the shoulder surgery, then I believe he would have been traded. He would have been. But he had the surgery. Other teams were forced to make other moves. They left the 49ers stuck with him. I think that they recognized, you know what, again, there's an asset you'd want to have on the roster. We might need him. And if we don't need him, there might be another team that suffers a quarterback injury that needs him. Think back to when Dallas lost Dak on opening night. There was a lot of people who felt like, oh, they should go make a move for Jimmy Garoppolo when Dak's injury turned out to be a 4 to 6 week injury. So he was always going to be the first name that came up if there was some kind of big quarterback injury. But it just so happened that big quarterback injury happened to be in San Francisco. The 49ers had the foresight and vision to redo that contract before releasing him because I don't believe that was in the cards or on the table. And they were fortunate enough that Jimmy was willing to go along with it, that he felt his best option was in San Francisco on a restructured contract. And so here he is now starting a game, and he makes $250,000 in incentives for starting each game, playing 75% of the plays, which, you know, if he's healthy, he will. Another $100,000 for each game he wins. So for every game he starts and wins from this point on, it'll be $350,000 in spot. That's not a bad day's work for Sunday.
No, it's pretty good. Adam, you're pretty good. Yeah, you're better than pretty good. You're great. We appreciate you so much, buddy.
You're just saying that because I put you in the ring of honor today, Snake.
Exactly.
Well,
that's a weighty endorsement, though.
It is a weighty endorsement from Adam Schefter, and Adam's
true.
My guy.
I mean, by the way, who are the voters? Is it Sacco still?
I don't know.
Sacamano, is it?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
It used to be Pat Bowlen, Larry Zimmer, Jim Sacamano. I'm going to guess right now, I think it would then became Joe Ellis. I wonder if Dave Logan is a voter right now. I don't. He might be.
Yeah.
I got to find out. I'll find out.
I'm sure Sacco's probably still a voter.
I'm launching a campaign.
Okay.
March 11th in 2023. Is it 22 or 23? Did they already pick this year?
No, he's a finalist for 2023. Oh, not for the Ring of Fame, but for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I know that, but I'm talking about the Ring of Fame.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying no way on the Hall of Fame.
One thing at a time.
Yeah,
one thing at a time, right.
Let's cross that bridge when we get there. Adam, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.
Have a great weekend, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
You too. Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider.
Adam's got me in the Ring of Fame.
Not bad.
No.
That's a heck of an endorsement. Good. Joining us courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And it's not just because I love you and because you're sitting next to me, but you do belong in the Ring of Fame, as does Ed McCaffrey, because to me, championships are rare. Never mind two championships. Never mind back-to-back championships. And to me, when you're talking about retiring numbers, putting people in the Ring of Fame, whatever, if you're lucky enough as a franchise to be able to win a championship, a world championship, darn right, the people who made up that team and were the core members of that team absolutely deserve to be honored. And even if their numbers, their stats, that you can point to people who played on teams that didn't win championships that were maybe better, I still think being part of a championship team matters. Not everybody who puts up great numbers is automatically got the stuff of champions. And what you guys did, not only winning one, but winning two back-to-back, to me, the core members of that team should be immortalized. And that includes you. And that includes Ed McCaffrey. That includes more guys. And if you're worried about, well, we don't want to water down, hey, instead of feeling like you're watering down the Ring of Honor, the Ring of Fame, whatever, look at it as we're actually lucky. Look at us. We're one of the few franchises out there that have won it all and have gone back to back. Darn right we're going to celebrate these guys, and we're not going to worry about watering it down.
Right. If the standard is back-to-back championships to put the core people in there,
yeah,
then that standard is so freaking high because it's happened, what, seven times in the history of the National Football League?
Yeah.
The seven franchises. So you're still pretty safe, I would think, right?
Yes.
If you're saying, hey, man, here's the standard, back-to-back champion. Oh, okay, that pretty much sets it apart. But anyway, whatever.
You know, if you're like, well, we don't want to set a precedent in case we end up winning back-to-back again and we have to put a whole bunch more people in.
And again.
Good problem to have.
Right. What if we win three or four back-to-back-to-back-to-back championships?
We'll have no room left.
Right.
Can't have that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not holding my breath, Mike. But it was nice. It's very nice for you and Adam to endorse me. Thank you.
And James Merlett at DenverFan.com. You can read that as well.
All right. That's how this whole thing started.
Oof. Then again, your speech...
No, I would be.
It wouldn't be just the kickers out on the field trying to get you off the field. Both teams would be on the field.
No. I would be concise.
Yeah, right.
I would be incredibly concise.
Sure.
They'd have to do it in a Fox, like during a Fox. So I'm calling the game.
Ooh. And you come down.
Then I come down at halftime.
Yeah.
What'd I say?
Oh.
Oh, what'd I say?
Well, tell you what.
I'll think about it.
Yeah. Think about it while we listen to Spilly telling us how the Rockies fared last night.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' big story of the day.
Funny, it's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big is big. Big is huge.
Here is the biggest development of the day. Confidence is low for the Broncos on Sunday, according to Bronco fans who listen to this show and who vote, well, not vote, but pick at the Fan Football Pick'em at DenverFan.com. So updating the picks to this point, 56% of people who've made their picks so far, and we encourage you to get those picks in starting now because there's Thursday Night Football tonight, Pittsburgh and Cleveland. King Supers Fan Football Pick'em, where you can win groceries for a year, free groceries for a year. 56%
are picking the 49ers. And I would say just a quick perusal of the Ramoslaw.com text line, it's running 80-20 that the Broncos lose. Maybe this is the perfect... Okay, now further proof that Russell Wilson's a sorcerer and he's rubbing off on me. Maybe this is the perfect time to play San Francisco. And let me explain.
Okay, please explain.
Because what happened in Seattle, it was Seattle. It was a unique situation. It was a very hostile crowd, very loud crowd. Not a typical opening game of an NFL season for a road team, right?
Right.
So you could pass off a lot of the things that happened as just being that. Then you come home and you play Houston. And what does everybody think that game is going to be? What does everybody
it's going to be a blowout.
What does everybody on the fan think? All of the hosts.
It's going to be a blowout.
This is the get-right game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know that there's some things you have to fix, but it's Houston, right?
Right.
All right, now look at what you're faced with as an organization. Two straight weeks of getting hammered locally and nationally. And now here comes San Francisco, a team that everybody now looks at with Jimmy Garoppolo as being a legitimate NFC threat again.
Right.
And it's on national television. And you're coming off the fresh memory of your own fans booing you and derisively counting down the play clock. Which for veteran people who've been around the NFL said, never seen that happen before.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, I'm hoping, Mark, that there's now not a newfound, but for the first time this season, a sense of urgency that wasn't there in the first 2 weeks. How about that? And that the Broncos will actually prosper in this underdog role. Because they are an underdog, by the way. Officially an underdog.
Yeah, and that switched when Jimmy Garoppolo became the quarterback. I think there's an urgency that they probably didn't have last week. And I think you can explain away some of the operational issues that they had because of crowd noise and in Seattle and the first game of the season and all that. So I thought I believe they came back here and thought those issues would solve themselves. And that's, Mike, that's plausible. Like, you can see that. I mean, I know how hard it is to go into crowd noise, and especially in a place like Seattle. I know how hard that is to operate as an offense. I get that. And still, they racked up over 400 yards of offense and should have won by double digits if you don't fumble twice on the goal line. Won by your guy.
Somehow, folks, Melvin Gordon has become my guy.
Oh, you had your
John Elway signed him to a 2-year deal. George Payton brought him back. Right. But suddenly he's my guy.
He's completely your guy.
Okay, keep going.
You've been campaigning. I don't know what it is about your affinity for the guy, but he's your guy.
All right. Continue.
Yeah. So anyhow, I think you can explain that stuff away. And then obviously Houston, and I told you Houston's defensively, they're better than you think.
You still thought the Broncos would put 30 on them.
I did, because I just didn't think they could hold up offensively. I didn't think they would. Yeah, I didn't think they would do enough offensively, and the Broncos would wear them down and eventually, you know, hang a bunch of points on them. Well, obviously that didn't happen. Here's where we sit. I do think there's a bit of not pressure relief, but there is a bit of underdog aspect to that at home. And there will be far more attention paid to getting the plays in on time and executing those plays. I just think that bodes well for Denver.
Nobody over there expected the kind of reaction that they got where people were booing them in the first quarter.
Right.
It surprised us.
Yeah.
It did.
It surprised me. When I came home Sunday night after calling the game in San Francisco, plopped down in my kitchen like I do every Sunday night, put on the Broncos game, right? I was shocked when I heard the boo birds. I'm like, it's first quarter.
Yeah.
People are booing the hometown team. Like, I was shocked. Oh, season opener. I mean, because the expectations are great. Think about the expectations here.
So think about over there in that building.
wow, they were booing us in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. By the end of the game, they were counting down the play clock. Do you think that that, I'm hoping that there's enough ego and pride over there that there's this realization that if we don't get our bleep together,
yeah,
we're going to be a national television and a nationally televised audience is going to be hearing our fans booing us and counting down play clock, and who else knows what they have in store for us?
On a Sunday
night. On a Sunday night.
And you know Chris Collinsworth's going to talk about it.
Oh, of course. And Tirico?
Tirico.
Tirico's a Cuse guy, which means he's got a healthy amount of wedge driver in him. And he's a professional. And he'll play that up. He'll do it smooth, but he'll play it up.
He will.
We got to get Tirico on, by the way.
Yeah, when do you want to get him on?
Get him on tomorrow. Football Friday.
Yeah.
All right.
What time do you want me to get him on? He's a Detroit guy. He lives in Detroit.
I know that.
I'll text him.
Okay.
We'll see where see if he can jump on with us.
Let's do that. But that's my point is that first of all, you didn't worry about that happening last Sunday. You didn't think it was going to happen. Now, eyes have got to be wide open that we don't figure this out. This is what's in store for us in front of a nationally televised audience. Doesn't get worse than that.
Yeah.
Let's fix this.
Right.
Maybe that sense of urgency is and the possibility of embarrassment is a good thing.
What they need to do.
Might be the best thing this team needs right now.
You know what they need to do? Friday morning for the team meeting, motivational speaker.
Who's that?
Professor Zeus.
You know, it's funny you say that.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that. Because somebody said, all this talk about getting you into the Ring of Fame and what the speech would look like.
Yeah.
Somebody made this suggestion. I think it's genius. Professor Zeus needs to be the one to introduce Mark for his Ring of Fame speech. What would that sound like?
Oh, could you imagine? Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention, please. You know him as the Stinkinator.
The Stinkinator.
The round mound of stink bound. He was a stalwart on the offensive line for years and years and years and truly was the leader of the pack. Had the strength of a minotaur. The speed of Achilles. Mercury. The strength of Zeus.
I don't know. Can you imagine that you could dress up like you like this old like nutty professor?
Oh yeah,
and you could introduce on the big screen. Yeah, big screen, Mike. Right up there, the Broncos big screen.
You just basically just channel his inner Doc Brown. You just dress him up like Doc Brown, and then the way
that guy introduces, and then I come out.
Oh, that'd be so good. Oh, yeah, because the crowd would be going bonkers.
The crowd would be like, who? Hey, you think the crowd was booing Hackett?
Oh, good times.
Gather around, fellas. I've got a story to tell you.
Some good reaction to the whole confidence level. Also, I threw this out earlier in the show. Classic Zoom meeting mishaps.
Oh, that's right.
In honor of Scott Van Pelt, who was doing one while his new puppy in the background in his office was dropping a deuce on the
That'll happen.
Office floor. So we'll get to some of the best ones coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
We'll get to some notable Zoom mishaps here in just a sec. So have I been able to build up any confidence? I can't believe how things have changed in just 2 weeks. That all the optimism surrounding the Broncos. Like, I caught some heat when I wrote an article. All I said was that the honeymoon was over for Nathaniel Hackett after week one and that he was into prove-it mode. Oh, and I got roasted by some folks on some sensitive pearl clutchers on social media about, how can you say the honeymoon's over? It's not over. Stop going for clickbait. Well,
All I can say to those folks now is, well, what do you do? How do you describe what's going on right now? There is a crisis of confidence already 3 weeks in. You got Matt LaFleur doing a press conference in Green Bay looking ahead to a major showdown with Tampa, and he's taking time to throw an endorsement Nathaniel Hackett's way. Don't worry, folks down there. He'll be fine.
It has been an incredible lack of patience. And what you're dealing with here with Broncos country is their disappointment over the last 6 years and the expectations that have been created by Mr. Bolin. And right now, I mean, you know, we talked about the soft launch at the start of the season and blah, 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 and on and on and on. And, you know, obviously it's not good enough. And we've watched bad offense here for a long time. We've watched bad offense for a long time. And right now we're averaging, 16 points a game? We've got 16 in the first two games. So, there is nothing that's going to take the pressure off of Hackett. Yeah, Adam Schefter talked about wins. It's not just wins. It's explosive wins. It's hang 35 on somebody. You're going to have one. You know, it's not going to be enough to win this game against San Francisco 17-16. Because there's still going to be question marks, big time question marks. So it's going to take one of those to ease the overall angst of the fan base. It's going to take, you know, one of those 32 to 14 type of victories.
Adam Schefter was on with us earlier this hour, and he said he'd never seen a honeymoon end so quickly for a coach.
Mm.
I think the answer, though, is kind of simple when you think about it, because you know why Hackett is getting all of this heat and scrutiny. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is to say maybe Russell Wilson isn't that good.
Yeah.
Maybe all that stuff coming out of Seattle, maybe there is some merit to it. And nobody wants to even go down that road.
Right. Yeah.
So where does it all get directed at?
Right. Well, you know, and it's the old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, certainly is it all Russell's fault? Is it all this, that, and the other, the ending of the marriage in Seattle? Absolutely not. But there are some things that did bother people. I can tell you that firsthand. There are some things over there that did bother people. And when people talk about, well, did you pick Pete or did you pick Russ? I don't even think this is as much of an endorsement of Pete Carroll as much as it was it ran its course and they were tired. Right? And they decided to move on and get as much draft capital as they could and start to rebuild their football team.
We mentioned the story of Scott Van Pelt of ESPN.
Yeah.
He was doing a Zoom call in his office, and in the background, his new puppy just dropped a huge.
Yeah.
Huge deuce. So we asked the question, any notable Zoom mishaps for our listeners out there?
Mm-hmm.
Some good ones came in. He goes, well, you know, a lot of people were doing their Zooms outside.
Yes.
He said, I was doing my Zoom on my deck and a bird pooped on me.
That's supposed to be good luck.
Is it really?
Yeah, when a bird poops on you.
Come on.
No, it's good luck.
You're making that up.
I am not making that up.
You're seeing me as gullible right now, and you're...
No.
Come on. I've never heard that.
You've never heard that?
Never heard that.
And well, my mother-in-law told me, so it's got to be true. She was like practically a Jeopardy champion. So, I think maybe it's an Asian thing.
So if a bird...
Because my mother-in-law was from... She's Japanese.
Right.
100%.
Right.
So, yeah, if a bird poops on you...
It's good luck.
Yeah, it's probably something Confucius said or something.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Again, the more you know.
Right. Exactly. The star.
This guy says, I was sitting with a coworker. We were in a architect's meeting.
Uh-huh.
He said we were muted. I said out loud, this architect should get kicked in the balls, and everyone heard.
The old fake mute button.
Gotcha.
Gotcha, dumbass.
Your first mistake was believing your coworker.
Yeah, that would be something, as a coworker, that would be something I would do to you.
Yes, right? Exactly. Hey, don't worry about it, Mike. It's muted. We can talk about whatever we want to talk about right now.
Okay, Stink.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. That brings me much joy.
Oh, man. Some reaction to the Broncos and the confidence level. Confidence low, low, low. 49ers beat us by 20.
Wow.
If the Broncos lose, will there be a coaching change? Wow.
Man, I tell you what. Feeling almost bad for Coach Hackett and the rest of the staff right now. I mean, this isn't really, you know, this is kind of like one of those, you're not mad at me, you're mad at your father, right? This is like, you're mad at the past regimes. Your Broncos country is just angry at what's gone on here for the last 6 years. And right now, the easy target is Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, because you can't blame it on Russ. You can't.
No.
You can't allow yourself to go there.
You cannot.
You can't allow yourself to say, maybe those people in Seattle were right.
Right.
I hate those people. Maybe smarmy Pete Carroll was right.
He's happy Pete right now.
He is. Wow.
Well, after San Francisco debacle, probably not.
All right. We'll see if a Football Friday gets everybody fired up. I'll tell you what, if your dauber's down as a Broncos fan, here's what I would recommend you do.
Get your dauber up.
Get your dauber up, but here's how you do it.
Okay, how do you get your dauber
up? I'm going to give their website a promotion here. DenverBroncos.com, you can go see the video of Russell Wilson's press conference yesterday. Just watch it. I promise you, you will walk away feeling great.
That, and you'll know everybody's name.
And you'll know every single name of every offensive player. I'm telling you, you can't listen to him and not come away feeling energized and upbeat.
We had.
Especially when he talks about the red zone woes.
Yeah.
Right. Wait until you hear him talk about the red zone woes, and you'll be like, huh.
We've scored 5 almost touchdowns.
We're good.
We're almost 6 for 6.
Just, and he's even doing the hand gestures, like this close. Like, you know, he's right. Little, you're this close. Right. Telling you. Check it out. Change your life, man. Change your life. Change mine. Coming up.
We lead the league and almost touched
it. We've got the Players Club for you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.